So how many lawyers are going to write a title opinion letter providing gap coverage? And by gap coverage, that's the date between the date of the opinion and the closing date. I don't know how you do that unless maybe you close the transaction. Then you could issue that letter, a revised letter at the time of the closing. If not, if you're using a traditional escrow agent to close it or one of your loan officers, I don't know how you get there. And then it says, this is another one. This is what happens when we have people in D.C. writing these things. Letter must state that the title condition of the property is acceptable. And I have no idea what that means. And I have not found that anywhere. And the mortgage constitutes a lien of the required priority. We would expect that. And then it says, go see B7206, Attorney Title Opinion Letter Requirements. So at the same time they issued this selling guide change, they issued a new topic bulletin to deal with title attorney opinion letters. And here's what it says. It must be addressed to the lender and all successors and interests. And it says, we agree to indemnify you and your successors and interests opined hereto to the full extent of all losses attributable, and this is the key, a breach of my or our duty to exercise reasonable care and skill in the examination of the title. So this is now back to a malpractice or a negligence standard. So if I get, as a lender, an attorney title opinion letter, it's going to be judged by whether or not that lawyer exercised reasonable care in the event that it's incorrect. It could be incorrect, but I might have used reasonable care, and then I would have no duty to indemnify, right? And then provide the gap coverage, again, kind of an interesting requirement. Title condition is acceptable. That's the other one I said, kind of not a legal term, and it's not defined. List other liens and state they're subordinate. We talked about that. Attorney license to practice law in the jurisdiction. We've talked about that. Be commonly acceptable in lieu of title insurance by private institutional mortgage investors in the area where the property is located. So now that clearly rules out oil and gas examination standards and minerals, water, whatever. And include language, and this one's pretty straightforward. This is the environmental protection lien coverage, that there's no environmental protection liens of record. And then the next one is an arm. They want comfort that if the mortgage is an adjustable rate mortgage, that changes in the rate will not affect the lien. And then they want security, or they want coverage in the letter that if the property is in a PUD, that there's nothing in the PUD that's going to cause priority and a loss of my lien. Those are all to be expected. So you can kind of see the three there is the gap coverage, the standard of care, and then condition of title is acceptable. Then it also lists a number of transactions that it's not eligible for. And this one is kind of surprising to me, really, because remember, we're back to affordable housing, right? We're trying to help low-income, first-time home buyers get into a home. One is so they can build wealth. And there's no question that over time, you know, there is the white segment of our population has had more opportunities to build net worth through housing than a large part of the minority population. And that's part of what they're trying to address here. But now we're not going to allow you to use this attorney title opinion letter, which is supposed to be helpful, for loans secured by a manufactured house, which is a common entry level point, home equity loans in Texas, and then loans secured by properties subject to restrictions. So we've kind of just pushed a whole segment of the mortgage market aside as not being eligible for these, and I'm not sure the logic that goes with all of those. So then it refers you to one more, so I'm just kind of giving you the background here, title exceptions that are allowed. And we start introducing this marketability concept, which we don't have in Texas. So you can have minor impediments to title in your opinion letter, but they cannot affect the marketability. Again, not a Texas legal concept. There can be no unpaid taxes, of course, but that means that you as a lawyer writing that opinion letter are going to have to check the tax records. There can be no survey exceptions, which would take to mean that you've got to take a survey and look at it and make sure there's no exceptions shown in the survey. And then the Alta 9, if there's no survey, which is basically the T19 endorsement that we have in Texas, which deals with setbacks, easements, boundary lines, and restrictions and the like. So that's an additional examination for the lawyer. And then the loan policy, here I just kind of made a side note. The loan policy in Texas, the survey exception can be deleted if a survey is provided and there's no charge on the loan policy. So sometimes folks are a little confused about what that part of the title policy does. If you look at the insuring clause in a loan policy, it insures basically against matters that a survey would show. And then Schedule B takes that away in the exceptions as not taking that coverage away, but you get it deleted by providing a survey. So that's how that works. That is a constant, particularly with the realtor area. It's kind of a concept hard to follow. So there we are. That's and then there's a long list of the typical things: utility easements, driveways, fences, small encroachments are all okay. That will not undermine the efficacy of your attorney title opinion letter.